This passage in Luke comes just after Jesus' visit with Mary and Martha. And this scene begins with Jesus again at prayer. Luke, more than any other of the evangelists, stresses the importance of prayer in Jesus' life. Given the disciples' exposure as Jesus practiced and this awareness that John had taught the disciples to pray, it's only natural that they would ask Jesus for instruction. Luke's version of Jesus' response, what we call the Lord's Prayer, is briefer and simpler than that found in Matthew. This version in Luke emphasizes the more down-to-earth concerns of securing bread for tomorrow and tending a community formed by shared forgiveness. Hear now the words of the evangelist in chapter 1 of Luke, verses 1 through 13. If he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught us and taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, when your child asks for a fish, would give him a snake? The child asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God add a blessing to this scripture.
Let us pray. Teach us, O God, to pray. Teach us to seek your spirit, to seek your will. Remind us again and again that we are to pursue your purposes and not our own. Bestow upon us your grace and your goodness. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The man in his 80s was anxious and frightened. His wife was hospitalized. Her surgery went well, but her recovery was taking much longer than anticipated. Thus, so was their separation. As we sat together, I asked if prayer gave him strength, followed by, "Could we say a prayer together?" He replied, "I have never been very good at prayer." And implicit in his statement was that he didn't know how to pray or that his prayers would not be answered. His response caught me by surprise, as I would categorize him as a man of faith. His response reminded me how many people, representing all walks of life, struggle with prayer. Don't misunderstand, we all struggle with prayer at periods in our lives. Some refer to this as dry prayer or the dark night of the soul. It can be a deeply distressing time, and the words I offer are to persist at your prayers and find a prayer partner. As a hospital chaplain, I offer spoken prayers numerous instances each day. I also say silent prayers multiple times as I ask for God's guidance and give thanks for God, for God's grace and mercy. Working in the spiritual care department at two suburban hospitals, I encounter the diversity of humanity. Among a wide range of people, the most common question I receive as a minister and as a chaplain concerns prayer. I don't know how to pray. I'm not good at prayer. What is the formula for prayer? Do prayers work? And why aren't my prayers being answered? Lord, teach us how to pray. Throughout Luke, and especially in today's scripture, we are invited to see a bigger picture, to see the context in which the prayer occurs. We should remember that the request of the disciple, after all, is not teach us a prayer, but is instead teach us to pray. And there is a difference. The prayer in today's scripture serves as an affirmation of the worldwide view Jesus teaches. If we ask, seek, knock, we will surely receive and find, and the door will be open, which makes possible the prayer's fulfillment through the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us to pray. The beginning of our gospel passage is a request that each of us deeply understands. We want to know how to pray. We want to have a deep and abiding prayer life that connects us with God and makes our lives richer and fuller. We want to find a way to make our prayers more meaningful and more worthy. Many people think there's a specific formula and that they don't get it right, so that's why they perceive their prayers are not being answered. Prayer is not complicated. We humans at times make it much more difficult than it should be, and thus we avoid praying. As always, we can rely upon Jesus to provide guidance. In this Luke passage, Jesus answers this fundamental question of a life of faith: how to pray, by giving us the Lord's Prayer as a way to remember the essence of praying to God. There are only four things to remember. When you pray, say, "Hallowed be your name." Translated in today's language, this means praise and thank God. Give us our daily bread. Bread is the substance of life. Thus, we pray for help throughout our daily life, be it for guidance and assistance in a relationship, in our health, or in other areas weighing on our soul. Forgive us our sins. It's simply that. Forgive us our bad behavior, nasty thoughts, and other transgressions. Forgive everyone indebted to me. Let us be generous to others in thought, word, and action. Praise God, name your daily struggle, ask for forgiveness and guidance and strength in being generous to others. It is easy as that. Simply put, prayer is having an intimate conversation with God, opening our hearts and being honest. It is praising God, asking for help and forgiveness, and being generous to those we encounter. There is no right or wrong way, no correct formula, time of day, posture, or location. Some of my best conversations with God occur in the car on the way to the hospital. Prayer is about an intimate conversation and a relationship with God. And as with any relationship, we have to work at it and put time into it. God does not need our prayers. We do. God does not have to be invited into our lives. We just have to open our eyes to the always presence of God. Jesus teaches us to look for God's will in all things and make ourselves open to that will. We don't pray to change God's mind. We pray to know it and to change our own hearts and minds and to live in harmony with God. Lord, teach us to pray. The prayer Jesus taught us to pray has nothing to do with finding the right words or the correct posture or location. Prayer is a mystery, and as such, prayer is about our faith journey and is really more about our persistence. Jesus continues in this passage by reminding us to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking, to persist in our relationship with God. Jesus knows that God is already in motion, and that God has answered every prayer, and that God has already opened every door that needs to be opened, and is standing at the threshold, inviting us to enter through prayer. Prayer is difficult and hard for those of us in our quick culture, where speed and efficiency are everything, where we press a button and stuff gets delivered to our door. Prayer is not quick. Prayer is not efficient. Communion with God will not happen in 15 seconds. In the middle of our passage this morning is the parable of a friend. This friend, who is asked for 3 loaves of bread, at midnight no less, says, "Don't bother me, for the door has been locked and my children are with me in bed." The parable encourages us, if we have something to ask of God, we need to ask boldly. Humility in prayer should not lead us to hold back with reserved and measured requests. The friend is persistent, and this is what Jesus' parable proposes as the sort of prayer we ought to offer. Ceaseless, demanding, forceful. The man in the prayer who responds to his persistent friend does so not out of friendship, but because of his persistence, he will get up and give him what he needs. Now, we are not friends who annoy God, but persistence in prayer must become our practice. Persistence indicates that we know how to petition God without ceasing, because only God can meet our deepest needs. The persistence also reflects our struggle with prayer. It's about keeping at it, trusting, just doing it, and not being too polite. Those who persist in prayer know God through the Holy Spirit will attend to our needs. God wants to hear from us. God wants to hear from you, each one of you, for when we are asking for all the things we need from God, it means we desire the gift of God's goodness above all else. The working of prayer through the Holy Spirit is a mystery, and the answer is provided on God's timeline, not ours. Many times the working of prayer is hard to understand, and this is where faith comes into play, along with our prayer partners and our faith communities that support us in our journey. There are many things I don't understand about prayer, but there are two things, however, I believe passionately. God wants us to pray. More than that, God wants us to ask for anything. Our petition to God, Jesus said, should be bold, audacious, and persistent. A few months ago, a chaplain colleague and a prayer partner reached out to me for guidance. For a year, she had been carrying a hurt, a deep pain in her soul, regarding a person she used to work with. She wanted to move past that pain, which would allow for a continued relationship with this person. As our prayer and our conversation was drawing to a close, right there in Panera Bread, I asked her, may we say a prayer together? My parting words were to her to continue to pray on the issue. Just this past week, I received a note from my chaplain colleague and prayer partner, and to quote, my prayers have been answered. The nugget of bitterness in my heart is gone, and it's a wonderful, freeing experience, end quote. Her prayer was answered after months of persistent praying. My chaplain colleague can attest that it was persistence in her prayers that were made to be answered. Lord, teach us to pray. F.B. Meyer, the author of the great little book, The Secret of Guidance, said, the great tragedy of life is not an unanswered prayer, but an unoffered prayer. One of my most difficult encounters is when someone tells me they have stopped praying as previous prayers have not been answered or that God has ignored their prayers. I truly believe that God answers all prayers on God's timeline. I have also learned that when prayers are answered, it is usually not how we envision. Jesus invites everyone to ask, search, and knock. No one is left out here. He offers the invitation to you, to me, and to all people. The implication of his offer here is that he does answer everyone who asks, seeks, and knocks. The answer may be yes. The answer may be no. The answer may be wait. Or perhaps even you're asking for the wrong thing. You're searching in the wrong places. You're knocking on the wrong doors. Such answers are all necessary and the best for us at that time, given the nature of the prayers we pray and the circumstances in which we pray them. This is why Jesus instructs us to be persistent in praying. Keep asking. Don't stop searching. Continue with your knocking and trust in God's gracious care. Lord, teach us to pray. We are not merely called to pray. We are called to a life of prayerfulness, a life in which every breath we take and every move we make is attuned to the breath and movement of God that is already part of us. And in that way, prayer comes with responsibility. As we enter that realm of God, we too are called to be part of creating a world of justice and peace, of forgiveness, of providing bread for the hungry, and a shunning of those things that temporarily pull us away from where we are called to be and what we are called to do. As I suggested to the man of 80 years and my chaplain colleague, praise God. Name your daily struggle. Ask for forgiveness and guidance and strength in being generous to others. And know that God protects. God provides comfort. God forgives. And God hears our prayer. Amen.